Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. If you Catholic girls start much too late. Oh, but sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well will be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Oh, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have done. Only the good die young.
Hello everyone, my name is Dr. Michael Wald, and welcome to the second show on the topic of gluten, entitled Glutenaholic. For those of you who missed my first show on gluten, please consult the PRN archives and listen to that show, because gluten, as I said during the show, is a masquerader of many, many different symptoms and outright diseases. And what that means in simple English is that if you have a chronic health problem and you've seen a bunch of healthcare providers and they've done their best to find things out and they could not find a cause, still think of gluten. Some of you are thinking, well, I did think of gluten and so did my healthcare provider, and they did tests and the tests were negative. Well, that doesn't mean that there isn't a gluten issue. First of all, in order for gluten testing to be accurate, a person must consume gluten before the test. Yes, it's true. If you don't provoke an immune response by eating gluten, you can't measure antibodies to that gluten challenge on blood testing. There's also biopsy of the small intestine that can be done through a gastroenterologist, but I've seen all too many times that a person is told, my biopsy was negative, everything looks like gluten, but the GI doc said it's not because the biopsy was negative. Well, that's called biopsy-negative celiac disease. There is not always what they call morphological or destructive changes of the lining of the absorptive cells in the small intestine in those with celiac disease. A quick summary of a few key points from the last show. And then today, I'll focus the entire time on what an individual can do if they expect or suspect, that is, that they have a gluten intolerance or a gluten allergy or a celiac disease or non-celiac gluten intolerance with nutrition and lifestyle. You might be a bit confused right now about what I'm talking about, because many of you, I'm guessing, are thinking, well, what there is to do is eliminate the gluten and live happily ever after. That is step one. Remember, gluten or gluten sensitivity, allergy, celiac disease, let's just talk about that as gluten problems for now. Meaning there is a difference between those terms I used when describing gluten problems, but essentially they are treated the same in this sense. Number one, you eliminate gluten. Number two, you do comprehensive laboratory testing of basically all body systems to see what the aftermath of all the damage that gluten exposure may have caused in you over the course of years that will not necessarily be very evident or clear upon the routine testing that most well-intentioned physicians run. First of all, one limitation with the testing, and this is coming right from the blood detective, which is me, is that specialists tend to perform limited testing. Once again, some of you are saying, no, I've had every test under the sun. Again, if I had a nickel for every time I heard that and then looked at lab work to see many missing areas, I'd be retired now. The point is this. I put together what I call a blood detective longevity panel of tests that look at hormones, various types of inflammation. There's not just one, where I look at all the major levels of the immune systems. That's right, immune systems. There is not just an immune system in the body. There is white blood cells, and there are several subgroups of white blood cells. That's part of our immune system. That would be called the cell-mediated immune system, meaning that the white blood cells mediate an immune response. And then there's what's known as the humoral immune system, which has to do with antibody production. Antibodies are those cells produced by your immune system that react against substances that it feels are not its own or foreign. That's what happens in autoimmune disease, auto meaning self, where the body produces antibodies against itself. Why would it do that? Well, in the case of gluten, gluten causes breakdown of different body tissues. It could be anything. It's certainly most commonly breakdown of the absorptive cells or the villi of the small intestine, but also celiac disease or gluten intolerance or gluten problems can cause breakdown of the thyroid gland, causing Hashimoto's thyroiditis, or it can disrupt hormones, causing infertility. It can break down bone tissue, causing osteopenia and osteoporosis. It can cause various skin manifestations. The most commonly accepted one in celiac disease is dermatitis herpetiformis, but I will suggest to you that anything from simple eczema to any other type of skin problem can be a direct reflection of internal issues due to the breakdown of cells in the intestine and elsewhere in the body. The gastroenterologist, who you would think on the surface would have some clue about, let's say, nutrition, because nutrition is managed in the gastrointestinal tract, many of you out there are probably giggling right now because you know from experience, this is sadly not the case. Gastroenterologists are really no different than other types of medical physicians or osteopaths, which have very little training, less than 30 hours of training in all the years of medical school. And you know, there was an interesting quote out of Harvard several years ago that when something like this, compared to the hours that a physician receives in medical school in the area of nutrition, given those limited hours of about 30, that means that the average individual who watches television probably knows more nutrition than physicians. So this is your opportunity to become your own personal blood detective. That's what I keep saying throughout these shows, where you are proactive, you know a little something, where you can navigate properly the morass of confusion in our current healthcare system and get well. And one of the reasons for this confusion about gluten in the healthcare system is that, number one, medicine by and large simply doesn't buy into the fact that you can have a gluten issue that is something less than celiac disease. Said another way, if you don't have celiac disease, you do not have a gluten problem. It is black or it is white. Very few things in life, and I would say very few things in the universe, simply work that way. There are gradations of health and disease and changes over time and adding up of problems in the body where you are not aware of degenerative or destructive issues in the body, but then they get to a point where you are finally aware of the problem. You know, it is not uncommon for a person that comes to see me for help, that sits across from me and says, well, you know, this depression or these gut issues or this skin problem or my constipation or my diarrhea or my fatigue or my brain fog or my circulation problems, my neurologic problems, you name it. They'll say, well, all these things, they just started right away all of a sudden. I think they were from what I ate last week or last month or a stress I had 3 weeks ago. Well, it's very doubtful. If anything, those recent stressors may have been the last straw on the camel's back that just had everything crashed down. The body simply could not compensate any longer. Now, what my blood detective longevity testing does is look far deeper into the lab work to see things much earlier often than someone can detect it based on their subjective sense of how they're doing, which, by the way, has very, very little to do with health. I mean, think about it. There may have been a time where most of you, I'm assuming, I would hope, felt quite healthy. Maybe you were 10 years old. Maybe you were 20 or 50 years old. The point is, if you can think back to a time when you felt well, and then remember when things started to go wrong. They started not just suddenly one day, or they might have in the sense of your perception of symptoms arising, but there were little problems and perturbations in tissues, degenerative and destructive changes, some of them based on your genetics and how you age or how your environment interacts or how your body rather interacts with your environment, and a multitude of other factors such as toxin exposure, other toxins that your body produces inside itself, known as endogenous toxins, or maybe toxins you're exposed to. My point is, we're hit in all these directions. There's electromagnetic and radiation influences. They go on and on and on. And the body is more or less susceptible to them, tries its best to manage itself through them, and then one day it just can't do it for some of us. This is the case with gluten issues. Gluten, remember, gluten creates malabsorption. If you malabsorb nutrition, anything can happen. Again, if you malabsorb protein, you cannot repair tissues. So you lose organ mass and lean body mass. So that might cause your blood sugar to get a bit screwy. It might cause fatigue. You might become depressed because you can't absorb the proteins, which supply amino acids for mood and behavior and sense of well-being. Or you might malabsorb, let's say, calcium because you're not making enough stomach acid, so you can't ionize or activate calcium. So you'll have problems with blood clotting or neurologic symptoms such as paresthesias or funny feelings in your fingers or arms or fleeting symptoms in the body because calcium is involved in all of that. And yes, of course, calcium is involved in bone density, but it has many, many other functions in the body as well, including controlling muscle tone. For example, it's been demonstrated that those with so-called fibromyalgia tend to have calcium imbalance. They tend to have low levels or inadequate levels of what is called ionized calcium, which is the form of calcium, by the way, that is almost never checked on lab. I am astounded at how many practitioners do not check ionized calcium. How do I know? I teach seminars all over the country and abroad. Plus, patients come in to see me. They have some testing. It's not there, along with lots of things. If you don't look at the body as a whole with an attempt like my Blood Detective Longevity Panel that looks at many, many, many systems, you will miss puzzle pieces. If you only have a few pieces of a puzzle, you can only do so much. If you've tried and tried and tried and you're not better, even though you've eliminated gluten and you've eliminated GMOs and you're eating low glycemic index foods and you're making and you've eliminated allergens, and I mean, it's got to stop somewhere. What I find, which I believe is a very dangerous trend in the natural healthcare field, is many individuals develop a neurotic approach to their lives. It's understandable. They haven't been feeling well, so they seek out practitioners and they're given advice, but now they have developed inadequate diets in terms of nutrition because their diets are so restrictive, and it leads to stress and is almost worse than the initial problem may have been. My point here is that with proper testing, with proper detailed health appraisal questionnaires like my Blood Detective Longevity questionnaire, which asks questions and scores an individual in their different organ systems, plus a conversation and testing that is very specific for the individual. On top of that, it is possible to get down to what issues are. There's also quite a lot of misdiagnosis in the area of gluten. In other words, gluten testing can be positive on blood work, not from gluten. There are other diseases. I had a woman, fairly young woman, in her late 40s, who was riddled with metastatic cancer, who has positive gluten testing, but the problem was not gluten for a variety of reasons that we don't have time to explore here now, but it wasn't gluten. The same is true for Lyme disease. There isn't a condition on the planet for which there cannot be false positive tests, meaning tests that look like the problem, but are really not, or vice versa. There could be false negative ones. That's why we should not put all of our so-called eggs in one basket. We look at all areas. Then, earlier I said, well, if you have a gluten allergy or a gluten sensitivity, maybe you don't have enough enzymes to digest gluten, maybe you have celiac disease or some form of non-celiac gluten intolerance. Besides eliminating the gluten, the next step is, do the testing, do the questionnaires, sit with someone who knows what they're doing, and you'll be able then to come up with a focused, non-neurotic, reasonable plan of action because you have some evidence and you can check a person against themselves as you fix things. So I also mentioned earlier that gluten sensitivity or issues create malabsorption, and that can affect virtually any tissue of the body. Eliminating gluten is one thing, but you need to find out what tissues, cells, organ systems are affected. And then, here's the key, folks, and this is my mantra as the blood detective. When people say, how are you going to help me? I say, I'm going to give it my very best effort to fix whatever it is we find on your testing and through my questionnaires and my conversation with you. Now, that is very important for you to hear because what it means is your laboratory work might say that you need to eat certain foods and that contain certain levels of various nutritional compounds and take certain nutritional supplements that might look nothing at all like what you might read about in some book on gluten, you know, recovering from gluten. So if, for example, you have fatigue, and that fatigue might be because gluten is causing a hyper-reactive state of your immune system against your body in such a way that you would need to take certain nutritional compounds and eat foods that support that particular way that the immune system is dysfunctional. The next person I see with the very same type of immune response from gluten might need completely different nutrition, different dosing, different timing. So what is missing in our so-called healthcare system today is the health part. We have a disease care system. And natural medicine is not off the hook in terms of their inability at times to really get at the right answers. So everyone is told the same sort of thing. You have weak adrenals. Your thyroid's a bit off. Your hormones are disrupted. Maybe you have heavy metals. I'm not saying that these and other considerations are not reasonable or even correct, but more often than not, they are not correct. A person is suffering after being exposed to gluten for years and years and years. And this statement is really true of almost any health problem that develops over the course of your lifetime. There now exists in the affected person a bunch of physiologic and nutritional issues. My job as the blood detective is to do the detective work required to figure out what an individual needs and tailor a program for that person. It's not enough, once again, to eliminate gluten and to eat some healthy diet. If that so-called healthy diet does not have the nutritional compounds that you need for the particular way or ways in which you're affected by gluten, it will not help you. It might help you for a week, it might help you for a month, might even help you for 2 months. But once the placebo effect wears out, wears down, those people see me and they say, I did everything right. And then when I say to them, well, how do you know? They said, well, I cleaned up my diet and I don't eat this and I eat plenty of this healthy stuff and I take this bag of supplements. Well, look, let's take a step back for a second. Think about it. If you're doing all these things right, all the things we're supposed to do, we're supposed to think well, we're supposed to help avoid various toxins and adverse health influences in our environments, and you're doing yoga or acupuncture, whatever it is you're doing, but you're still not well or not fully well, you have persistent health problems over years, then this means, and here it is, folks, that what you've been doing that really seems right on paper is not exactly right. If what you've been doing is not working, and although it may seem right, but it's not working, it's likely not right. And we're assuming, of course, you're doing it correctly. So that's one of the things that I would review with a person. Are you consuming the right foods? Okay, great. Are you consuming the right foods from the right foodstuffs, which is a term referring to the right proteins, carbs, and fats? Are you receiving enough accessory nutrition in the form of nutritional supplements that match your metabolic rate? That's right. If you don't know how you burn calories, how do you possibly know how many calories from those major foodstuffs, protein, carbs, and fats, that you need? And then all of those supplements you're taking, if you take them on top of a diet that's inadequate, you are essentially wasting your time, or at the very least, you are not maximizing the nutritional recovery that you might experience otherwise. I want to explore for a few minutes a different kind of concept relating to gluten and the symptoms and obvious health issues that are resulting from the gluten. If someone responds to gluten in an adverse way, it affects your energy, your mental functioning, your disease state, you name it. If it affects you in some way, you're clearly genetically susceptible to that. Fine. Every one of us has a different genetic susceptibility, or what's known as resiliency against external stressors like gluten. Now, if someone has been exposed to gluten for years and it causes destructive changes in their intestinal tract, as I said in the first installment of Glutenaholic, which is what this show is, number two, Glutenaholic number two, 50% of individuals with at least celiac disease do not have any gastrointestinal symptoms whatsoever. They have what are known as extra-intestinal symptoms. That simply means health problems that are outside of the gut but are potentially caused from problems in the gut. So taking this a step further, we also know that gluten does cause destructive changes and affects absorption in the small intestine. But you may not know that low stomach acid, what's known as hypochlorhydria, hypo meaning low, hypochlorhydria, that's a fancy term for low stomach acid, or a complete absence of stomach acid, known as achlorhydria, can result from lack of stomach acid production because there is a loss of stomach cells that produce stomach acid and digestive juices like pepsin. Now, if you were then exposed to, let's say, heavy metals like lead or cadmium or mercury in the foods that you eat or the water or liquids that you drink, if you do not have enough stomach acid, if you have either low stomach acid, hypochlorhydria, or achlorhydria, no stomach acid, which is very common as well, you would have a much greater propensity for absorbing heavy metals. Now, if you understand that, we would want to then fix the entire gastrointestinal tract and the immune system that is located in the small intestine in what is called the Peyer's patches in a very specific way. So what did I just say? Many of you come to me and you have heavy metal problems. I see it. Your testing shows that there are heavy metals. And many of you say to me, yes, and I've had DMSA or EDTA chelation, and it removed the metals. Or it didn't remove the metals. Let's say for a moment it worked, or at least it seemed to work on testing. There'll be a whole other show on toxicity, by the way, in terms of heavy metal testing, because there is no good single test for metals, except maybe a free urine metals test, which is very different than a total urine metal test that many of you are thinking about because you did some provocation 24-hour urine test, which has many inaccuracies associated with it. My point here is this. You may have a metal problem, or you may have seemingly cured your metal problem because your testing looks good, but metals hide out in other tissues. All of this resulting from gluten causing problems in the small intestine and problems in the stomach, reducing or completely obliterating your stomach's ability to make stomach acid and digestive juices, such that when you're exposed to metals, they're hyperabsorbed. So you have to treat that. Treating the metals is really putting the cart before the horse. It makes no sense. You will not get very far. I see this error all the time in natural health care. Additionally, people will say to me, but Dr. Wald, when I eliminated the gluten, I felt much better. I only have these minor symptoms now, but then I look at their lab work and there are a lot of issues. My role as a healthcare provider is not to depress someone by telling them that their lab work is awful, but it's to provide opportunities to correct them. So for those of you a little concerned about what I or another healthcare provider might find, I would switch that around in your head and think positively and proactively and work with a practitioner who understands these concepts and someone who understands you or is willing to, so that together you can figure out a doable plan of what you might call a gluten remediation. Let me first provide a bit of a disclaimer, because the remaining part of today's show, Glutenaholic Part 2, has to do with specific supplements and how to potentially offset the adverse reaction that gluten can have on virtually any cell, tissue, organ system in the body. And the disclaimer is this: you should not take these supplements unless you're under the care of a qualified nutritional specialist. And I'll tell you why in a few minutes, but keep that point at the forefront of your mind. Because nutritional supplements are not entirely harmless. Many of them can cause adverse reactions when you use them incorrectly. So get your pen and paper ready, because now we're going to talk about how to improve the digestion of gluten that may inevitably get into your diet, even with the very best and rigid attempts at removing gluten. Once again, I've consulted with thousands of people over the last 26 years, and I can tell you that it is very, very difficult, if not next to impossible, to entirely eliminate gluten. And even tiny, tiny infinitesimal amounts that are microscopic to the eye can cause horrific adverse reactions in any number of systems in the body. So first of all, any attempt to improve the body's digestion of gluten and reduce the immune response and maintain health or gain health must always consider the absolute need for optimizing both protein and starch digestion, and therefore the protein and starch components of gluten. And gluten, again, is one of the adverse compounds that can create all sorts of varying health problems. So adding pancreatic enzymes and digestive juices is one of the important steps for improving gluten tolerance. But first, let's talk about starch digestion a bit, because again, gluten is basically a starch. So first of all, starch digestion begins in your mouth, and starches are acted on in the mouth by an enzyme known as amylase, which attacks the starchy component of gluten and it breaks it down. And if it breaks it down small enough, theoretically, and if it dismantles the gluten such that it is no longer chemically recognized as gluten, the immune system couldn't possibly react to it. And even the medical literature has descriptions of the use of pancreatic enzymes for improving gluten tolerance. So this is not just a holistic or natural medicine or health idea. Now, it's your stomach and small intestines where there begins the process of digestion of proteins. First, protein is acted upon in the stomach by hydrochloric acid, also pepsin and betaine. And protein digestion or breakdown continues in the small intestine and further is acted upon in the small intestine by pancreatic juices. So once again, we have a breakdown of gluten components in the stomach by way of stomach digestive juices, and also in the small intestine by way of the pancreatic juices. And if one or the other, and very commonly both of these enzyme and digestive juice systems are off, a person will develop intolerances to many, many foods well beyond gluten. But luckily, several nutritional supplements have proved to be useful for, again, not only overall health, but to improve tolerance to gluten. So again, for those of you just joining us, we're talking about reducing the adverse potential of gluten upon the body, even with the best attempts at eliminating it. So if some of that stuff slips in, what do you do about it? So again, complete and permanent elimination of gluten to 100% is very difficult, but it really is what is required for those with celiac disease. That is that genetic type of gluten intolerance. And those of you out there with non-celiac gluten intolerance still might find you have to eliminate it entirely for symptomatic relief. So the nutritional supports that I'm going to be speaking about now, they sort of make up for unintentional gluten consumption or just inadequate elimination of gluten components from the body, where they can get resorbed into the gastrointestinal tract, back into the bloodstream, even after the digestive process. So we need to break that gluten down as much as we can. And that requires improving the health of the intestine primarily. Now, I need to reiterate at this point that I'm going to be reviewing several supplements now, but it's not enough to just take these supplements first. You need to take the supplements in the right doses. I teach my clients what I call blood detective functional testing, which is testing that partially is done at home, where the client goes through a series of steps so that they can determine for themselves, under my guidance, how much pancreatic enzymes they need, what is the proper dose of stomach acid they need, of zinc, of protein, of N-acetylcysteine or reduced glutathione, of D3, of fiber, of glutamine. These are the key nutritional components for reducing gluten intolerance. Now, some of you are thinking, well, I take those already. Like I said, are you taking pharmaceutical grade supplements? I doubt it. Are you taking the right doses based on your actual biochemical needs and your metabolic rate as evaluated by a bioimpedance test? That's how it needs to be done. Now, the nutritional approach that I have for improving gluten tolerance is what I call the big five nutrients. So these five nutrients are absolutely fundamental for managing gluten, but they're just part of the issue, part of the nutritional needs of each person. So you, for example, might require any number of nutrients and foods for your current level of health and health issues and genetics and lifestyle, etc. You might require extra calcium, for example. You might require extra fatty acids, and the list goes on and on. Then there are the big five that you would need to take in addition and in optimal doses for the specific purpose of improving gluten tolerance. You know, nutritional supplements in the form of vitamins and minerals, enzymes, herbs, and other, you know, maybe phytonutrients and natural compounds have been available, thankfully, for decades to consumers. And more consumers are realizing that our food supply is just so tainted that it doesn't give us enough nutritional insurance, so to speak. So it's my personal opinion that we cannot fix all of our health issues by just cleaning up our diets. We do need the right nutritional supplements. I also want to say that I think that it is far safer for the individual to try to help themselves by using nutritional supplements than the risks that may be involved. Far safer to take the risk. And that's based on statistics, governmental statistics that I reviewed during one of my prior shows that demonstrate the safety of nutritional supplements. But I'm going to talk about some adverse symptoms as well and health problems that could result even by taking the big five nutrients. The big five is the term that I use to describe those most important for improving gluten intolerance. And remember again what I said in prior shows, that the old adage, you are what you eat, is untrue. More accurately, you are what you absorb from what you eat, and you're the consequences of what you do not. Plus, with gluten and other health issues, your nutritional requirements may increase so much that even if you have optimal absorption, which virtually no one has in my opinion, you still would need nutritional supplements. So concentrated forms of vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and other supplements, we know they can improve your immune system, your digestive capacity, hormonal issues. They can reduce one's probability of dying prematurely from all the major forms of chronic degenerative disease. They are a form of extra protection that I absolutely acknowledge. And again, for those of you saying, well, listen, I read the labels very carefully with gluten and I make sure there's nothing in it. Gluten labeling laws, they are absolutely in their infancy. And gluten products are found in everything from medications to many non-gluten foods due to cross-contamination from manufacturing processing and other causes. So these supplements now, I want to first rename them and give you a quick summary of some of the problems with them so you don't mistakenly think that they're only good and you can take a ton of them and you'll be fine. So for example, we need digestive enzymes for digestion, plus enzymes are anti-inflammatory. Most store-bought enzymes are found to be ineffective or the product doesn't contain any enzymes at all. There is a 15-minute show that I did on PRN, which is found in my blog on my website at www.integratednutritionny.com or blooddetective.com that you'll really want to listen to for more on that. But if you have gastritis, inflammation in your stomach, and or any ulcers, and some of which you may not know about, enzymes will eat away at your gut and make you worse. Taking too much protein can produce an overly acidic condition, but proteins are absolutely required for repair and improved tolerance to gluten. N-acetylcysteine, very, very important supplement. One of my very favorites because it is a mucolytic agent. It breaks up mucus. It's antiviral. It's antibacterial. It's antifungal. It's a chelator. But as a chelator, it can chelate or bind to minerals in the body, causing mineral depletion, which can impair immunity and healing and cause all sorts of other issues. But it is needed in the right dosing and timing for improved gluten intolerance. Then there is a vitamin mineral multivitamin, so to speak. But if you take too much, you can create mineral excesses. Now, mineral excesses, unlike vitamin excesses, are far more dangerous because minerals have a very tight range of toxicity, unlike vitamins, where they are primarily, but not all, water-soluble. So any excess that you take, you actually pee out, but that's not true with minerals. Vitamin C, very important for improving gluten intolerance, but there's buffered vitamin C, and there's a vitamin C ascorbate, and depending on your needs, you might want to take one form or another. Very important, because if you take the wrong vitamin C, particularly for prolonged periods, you can screw up your acid-base balance. Zinc, that's another essential nutrient for improving gluten intolerance, but zinc in excess will actually deplete immunity and cause some very severe side effects. But on the other hand, too little zinc impairs immunity as well. And then vitamin D3, we all know the importance of D3, except too much D3 will cause calcium retention. Your body will need to store that calcium somewhere. It'll store it in joints, causing arthritis. It'll store it in breast tissue, causing calcium-laden breast cysts, which we all know are strong precursors to breast cancer in both women and men. Calcium will store in the prostate from excessive vitamin D intake, causing abnormal changes in the cells of the prostate cells, which can lead to prostate cancer. Also, the body will pull calcium if there's excess D out of bones, causing osteopenia or osteoporosis. I mean, the list goes on and on in terms of all the health problems that too much vitamin D can cause. Fiber, very important for improving gluten intolerance, but too much fiber will bind to different hormones. It will create gas and other digestive issues. And what type of fiber? Soluble fiber, insoluble fiber? What's the ratio? And then glutamine, Glutamine does sound like gliadin or gluten, but it's not. It has nothing at all to do with gluten sensitivity. And for those of you who feel that you have glutamine sensitivity because you have gluten sensitivity, you don't. Of course, a person could have digestive difficulty breaking down the accessory amino acid glutamine, but it's not because of this in the same way that gluten causes health issues. So let's talk about the role of probiotics, those healthy bugs, what I call superbugs. And I've designed a supplement called Superbugs, which has a particular combination of different types of probiotics that I've determined over the course of many years is the best balance for most individuals, although the dosing and the timing matters. I don't have time to review all that here, and even if I did, the dosing and the timing is based on individuals. So it's not something I can guess, but I can tell you that probiotics are best given along with enzymes and stomach acid, and at least my stomach acid products and my probiotic and enzyme products, they are synergistic. They get along together. But if you take a product that has a particularly active form of stomach acid, it could denature or break down both your probiotics and your pancreatic enzymes. So the products that you take must be compatible. I've designed all of my products, my Fiber Complete products for fiber, my Superbug probiotic product, my Betaine HCL, and my Detox Absorb enzyme product all to work together, because whenever there's an issue with gluten, there's always an issue, in my opinion, with all of those areas. It is best to take probiotics with a meal, and particularly with protein. You don't hear this at all. I've never heard it on radio. But I know it's true because I've taught gastroenterology seminars, and it is very clear from my experience and also the medical literature that you can almost double the yield of probiotics just by taking it with the proper protein. The proper protein, for those of you asking that question right now in your head, is dependent on what proteins you need and your digestive capacity so that the right protein is chosen. In other words, rice protein is not digested the same as pea protein, which is not digested the same as whey protein, a whey protein concentrate as opposed to a whey protein isolate. Again, all of these factors need to be considered. That's why you need to see someone who knows what they're doing in this area. So, number one, we know that probiotics are important in improving gluten intolerance. Probiotics produce many B vitamins in the urine, in the intestinal tract. Probiotics help to denature and break down gluten so it looks less like gluten, so there's less damage to the absorptive cells in the gut and therefore to the rest of the body. So very, very important to take probiotics. Most people dose far too low. They take probiotic supplements that they heard were great, but they have no idea what balance they need. Now let's talk about the importance of liver function. Milk thistle, or silymarin, which most of you listening to this show are familiar with, is a very important group of compounds that are derived from milk thistle seeds, consisting of various active ingredients with long names that I won't go into right now. But we know that silymarin reduces oxidative or degenerative stress in the liver that can be caused by many type of toxins, including gluten toxins. So it's very important to supplement with a pharmaceutical grade silymarin, the dose of which is based on lean body mass and metabolic rate. I'm going to keep saying that. A lot of you out there have sent me your protocols, and the protocols on paper look pretty good. But almost no one has had a body composition test to figure the doses out. I just don't understand it. It's not your fault, obviously, if you haven't had one, but I question the practitioners that do not recommend this test. Now, milk thistle also helps to reverse a lot of the oxidative damage involved in the formation of leaky gut. Now, leaky gut syndrome, as I've said on prior shows, is not the cause of itself. It's just a response to degeneration. So if someone says to me, Dr. Wald, I know what my problem is, it's leaky gut, I would say, well, what caused that? And then they usually stare at me. The causes can be many. And like I said at the beginning of this nutritional section, first I perform a detailed blood detective longevity panel of tests, which looks at virtually all major organ systems to figure out the nutritional needs of the person. Then, if that individual has any specific health problem, like gluten intolerance of any type or any other problem, they need these big five nutrients that I'm going through right now in specific doses on top of the basic nutrition they need based on all of the other testing. If you jump to the big five, you might get some results. They likely won't be lasting. It's important to know all of your needs. And I won't be discussing doses of these nutrients because I don't know a person's metabolic needs. I don't know if they absorb. So if you want doses, you can read what's on the label. They're minimum doses, possibly, but there's no way to know if they're optimal doses. So now let's talk about glutathione, or what's known as reduced glutathione. And some of you have heard that glutathione may not be too absorbable orally. To make a long story short, that is basically a lie. And I know this because I attended the seminar years ago where the so-called expert at the time on glutathione stated that oral glutathione was not absorbed, basically because he was positioning his nutritional company to come up with other types of fancy glutathione. And now you've got all these companies with liposomal glutathione, this, that, and the other thing. I promise you glutathione is absorbed because I've checked it. So I'm just astounded at that sort of lie that has permeated the consciousness of many intelligent people who are trying to take care of their health. But having said that, I personally tend to rely on N-acetylcysteine, which is one of several precursors. It's also called NAC, by the way, N-A-C, because it's a direct precursor to glutathione, and it also has many other functions that glutathione does not have as strongly. But NAC is one of the most potent antioxidants that there is and helps to improve one's tolerance to any gluten in the diet. In fact, in my experience, practically all the reported harmful effects of gluten, including gluten causing nutritional deficiencies and allergic reactions and hormonal disruptive issues and certain toxic effects, can be offset by supplementing a small amount of NAC every day. So NAC is a biologically active amino acid that increases the body's production of glutathione, which is why I don't tend to use glutathione, not because glutathione is not absorbed. It's more expensive than NAC, so I use NAC. NAC is also a very powerful immune modulator, and as I said earlier, it's antiparasitic, it's antifungal, it's antibacterial, it's a chelator, it's good stuff. It's a mucolytic agent, reducing excessive mucus in the bowel, which the mucus tends to act as a intestinal glue to hold on to gluten components and other toxins in the bowel. So NAC, super important, but as a chelator, it can cause mineral deficiencies, so it needs to be taken away from other minerals by about an hour. And the next of my big five nutrients is a basic multivitamin mineral that contains activated vitamins and minerals, not just any multi. So first of all, studies have shown that more than 70% of us are deficient in one or more nutrients. My statistics show even a greater number than that. And again, I want to reiterate, we must choose supplements that contain the active forms of nutrients. So we know that those with gluten intolerance, by the way, often will have problems activating 2B vitamins, namely B12 and folic acid. So we need the active form of folic acid, which is known as it's a big long word, it's called L5-methyltetrahydrofolic acid. And then the form of B12 we need is methylated B12. Now, although these are active forms, they're very, very good for gluten intolerance. They're not necessarily what is best for other health problems. For example, eczema is best treated with a topical cyanocobalamin or cyano-B12 and not a methylated form. So there's no best form of nutrient for every single person. There's what each person needs. So again, we need a multivitamin with activated nutrients. Vitamin C. Vitamin C deficiency, I find on, I would say, 90% of my patients. And blood work, in my opinion, is not the best test. Urine vitamin C levels are the best test because blood levels can look adequate. They can even look elevated. But if they're not elevated enough to cause a spillover of vitamin C in the urine, which only happens when all of your cells are saturated, then you're just missing the boat. And vitamin C is required for nearly 3,000 different enzymes in the body, including many of which are involved in improving the body's tolerance to gluten. I have my patients perform what's called a vitamin C flush test to figure this out, but I need to determine the right type of vitamin C and the right dose that they use for this test based on a historical intake and a survey of their health issues and the severity of their health problems and other factors. The next of the big five is vitamin D, cholecalciferol, or activated D3. So we know that vitamin D is one of the most important, if not the single most important, nutritional factor which relates to our potential for a very high quality of life and length of life. And by the way, that's not my opinion. So let me say that again. The higher normal your vitamin D level, the lower your overall risk of dying of absolutely anything. And the higher normal your vitamin D is, the better one's overall sense of well-being. So on a blood test, where the level of vitamin D ranges from 30 to 100, we know it should be at least a 70 statistically, but none of you are statistics, you are individuals. So I always base vitamin D need on a total picture of all of my looking at various systems and tests. And of course, my blood detective questionnaires and my intake. But vitamin D is essential for offsetting the toxic effects of gluten, both upon the intestinal tract, the neurologic system, the cardiovascular system, the hormonal system. Very, very important. And if you've been found clinically low on blood testing with vitamin D, it's important to recheck your levels to make sure you're in that optimal range that I just discussed, because many practitioners fail to follow up on patients. Many regular physicians, MDs, and I'm generalizing here, but this is in my personal experience, a patient will come in and say, oh yes, they found I was low in vitamin D and they told me to take vitamin D. And sometimes the patient will say to me, oh, and they told me to take some vitamin D to go buy some without any indication of dosing. The common doses are anywhere from 1,000 or 2,000, sometimes 5 or 10. Very rarely the appropriate amount. If someone is below 30, that's the low end on a blood test, they require, depending on their weight, between 50,000 units once a week or 50,000 units twice a week for at least 4 weeks and as long as 8 weeks with retesting. And no, you're not going to become toxic, not if you're being monitored. I haven't seen a toxicity in all of my years. Certainly, I just haven't seen it. So it's a lot safer than people imagine. And if you're taking vitamin D, it's best to take it with healthy fats like avocados and omega-3 oils in fish like salmon, tuna, mackerel, raw nuts, raw seeds. All of those foods will improve the absorption of vitamin D. But as a fat-soluble nutrient, it's pretty well absorbed, even in those with malabsorption. The next nutrient on my big five list for improving gluten intolerance is zinc. There are many different forms of zinc. There's zinc picolinate, there's zinc carnosine, and the list goes on and on. Zinc picolinate is the best. It's the most biologically active form for those with gluten intolerance, and it's required for over 175 essential enzyme reactions that are managing everything from tissue repair in the body to immune health, detoxification, nervous system function. But zinc is required for cell repair in the intestinal tract, just like vitamin D is, but they do it differently. So the amount of zinc must be based on body composition, because it is very easy to become toxic with zinc. And if you underdose with zinc, you're simply not doing anything. Now, keep in mind too that gluten, as we've said over and over, what's fundamental about gluten is it causes malabsorption. And commonly, a person with gluten issues will be malabsorbing zinc. And they may be malabsorbing a variety of nutrients in the activated multivitamin mineral that I just spoke about, or vitamin D, etc. So it's important to supplement with at least these things, if needed, at the right doses. I can tell you, though, that the dose of zinc picolinate is generally between 25 and 50 milligrams once to twice per day. The other supplements, much too difficult to estimate that. The next of the big five is omega-3 fatty acids. They're among the most important nutritional products to add to anyone's diet, as long as you're not on Coumadin, which is a blood thinner, as the omega-3s can cause you to have blood that is too thin, and that can lead to hemorrhagic stroke and other problems. But the omega-3s are essential for controlling inflammation. Omega-3s are incorporated into our body cells, including the cells that literally are the lining of the intestinal tract, but everywhere else. Remember, gluten is not just a gut issue. It may not even be only a gut issue for most people. Generally, I supplement people between 2 and 6 grams, or that's between 2,000 and 6,000 milligrams of DHA oil. That's the predominant one that you want. EPA DHA is good, but DHA is better, in my experience, for gluten intolerance. And I have a DHA metals-free liquid at blooddetective.com. And then for the hormonal imbalances that gluten can cause, and of course, all of these nutrients plus the baseline of nutrients that everyone needs. Remember I said earlier, based upon all of your blood work, fix what you find, then talk about these big five. One of the big five, which helps to emphasize correcting hormonal issues that may have been caused by gluten intolerance, is DIM. Remember DIM? Diindolmethane. That's a very helpful compound derived from cruciferous vegetables like broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, and kale. So many hundreds of studies, not even dozens, have demonstrated DIM to be anti-carcinogenic, an antioxidant, an immune modulator. But gluten evokes hormonal imbalances, which can affect the adrenals, the ovaries, the thyroid, the pituitary, the testosterone balance, and DIM helps to manage that. Is it going to do it alone? I doubt it. We need a combination of things. I've mentioned D3 already. Let me complete today's conversation by talking about supplementation with digestive enzymes and stomach acids and juices. So pancreatic enzymes need to contain pharmaceutical levels of protein, fat, and carbohydrate digesting enzymes. And I use a tolerance test to figure that dose out. And I use my product Detox Absorb. I might start a person out with one per meal taken with the meal to start. When it comes to stomach acid and stomach juices, digestive juices, that really requires proper supervision by a trained health professional. So those are the big five, and this concludes part two of Glutenaholic. I hope you enjoyed this show. I love the questions I'm getting, and I've received just today about a dozen or so calls requesting that I speak about malabsorption, malabsorption tests, the different types of malabsorption. So I'm going to call that show, let me make up a name. Okay, here's a good one. From Malabsorption to Optimal Health. My name is Dr. Michael Wald. I'm the Blood Detective. Thank you again for listening to Ask the Blood Detective. Keep those questions coming in. Send those questions to me at www.info@blooddetective.com or info@integratednutritionny.com. My phone number at the office is 914-242-8844. Have a great day, and I'll see you next Saturday at 1 o'clock. Join us and tell your friends. Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. If you Catholic girl, start much too late. Oh, but sooner or later, it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Oh, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have done.